Coming up on Dig It.
It's very hard not to fall in love with Chris Martin when he is on a stage.
Chris was always, in the early days, so shy and so nervous being on stage. God, people can change. I can see you desperate to get out of the sofa. Look, your legs are going now. You're like, I'm going to do it.
All of that right after this.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
How are you, darling?
I'm all right, thank you.
Look, I put you in the steel pants because you really went through it last week.
Thank you. It was quite the week last week.
We had an amazing response, didn't we?
Yeah.
From people about Simba. Bless you.
Yeah, no, honestly, I just have to say thank you to everybody who sent through such kind messages. So many people talking about what it was like, the impact of losing the cat on our whole family, and how Steve must have been feeling, because it was an awful accident in which he ran the cat over, which is just, as you say the words, it sounds so surreal, but the number of people who have had similar experiences themselves. Yeah. I mean, you know, dating back 10 years, 15 years, and people were sharing what it was like and saying that they've never actually recovered from it. And as soon as when they think about it and they think about their pets and how harrowing it was. So thank you for sharing your stories. And Steve took great solace from that. And also, can I just say, I did check with him before I talked about it on the pod, because I would never do that to him. I would never do that. And he was, you know, we've agreed, I think, Zoe, when we're doing this, we're sharing people what our lives are like and what's going on. We want to be completely honest and authentic. So that's why I talked about it last week, because it had such a big impact on all of us about, yeah, just how the kids felt. And also, you know, when someone dies, and this extends to being an animal as well, the dynamics in a house change. So yeah. we've got another cat, and we've got two dogs as well, and you have to get used to something being different in the house, there being a loss, a hole, and everything shifts a little bit. And so I've been watching my other cat, which is Kiki, who's a ragdoll, and she's obviously going, well, where's my mate gone? Where is she? We've been watching her going all around the house, sniffing, meowing, which she's never really done before. Simba was the one who just chatted all the time. And suddenly Kiki's got a voice, and she's been so much more sociable and coming and sitting on us and hanging out with us. And so we're now thinking, well, was Simba the dominant cat and didn't give Kiki any space? Yeah. Or is Kiki now trying to compensate and be there for us? So it's been an interesting week.
It can be a relentless life sometimes, can't it? You
one
don't know what's coming at you next. You're like,
no.
What? This is not where I thought we would be with things.
So thank goodness for music and art and theatre,
yes,
and fun and all that kind of stuff.
Did you go see Coldplay?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I went to see Coldplay.
How was it?
Talk about positivity and joy and love. You know, there is no greater advocate for love helping you to deal with things than Chris Martin and that band and that whole crew, the Coldplay crew. That's what the whole show is all about. Everywhere you go, there's the word love is everywhere, and hearts are being beamed everywhere, and you just kind of feel like these arms are coming around you, whoever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever your creed or your nationality or your sexual orientation, whatever, you're just all in this together, singing nice songs. That was the message that came from the Coldplay gig, and it was fun. It was really fun. Kylie was there.
Kylie, brilliant.
So, yeah, she was there, which was really lovely to see her. Skin from Skunk Anansie was there. Greg James. I took my
whole crew.
We had a really lovely time. Yeah. This is their record-breaking stint that they've done at Wembley. I think 10 shows. I mean, they looked a bit tired. I don't know how they do it.
I feel like they've been on tour for 4 years.
I think they have.
Because didn't they do a tour and it was, they were trying to do it in the greenest way possible, but it meant that it just went on and on and on.
I mean, I remember Chris coming on the show and making a point of wanting to exclusively reveal that Coldplay would be no more. And I must dig out the archive, because he's like, yeah, Coldplay will stop being and we're going to retire. And I'm sure he said 2025, which is obviously a big fat lie, because now I think they're looking at 27, 28, the stuff that's going on then. They're the band. He is the person who cannot stop performing, being creative, wanting to give to everybody.
You must go way back with Coldplay. Do you remember the first time you met Chris and the gang?
Yeah, I know. I have two distinct memories of seeing them at the Roadmender in Northampton. I went with my dad and they were on the Enemy tour, and there was, I think it was Terrace and Coldplay, and they were alternating who was headlining. They didn't sell enough tickets to fill out the Roadmender, the main room in the Roadmender, which is not that big, so they had to play in the bar. And so it was just Coldplay in the bar playing, and I was with my dad, and Chris gave us a harmonica, which I've got. He signed the harmonica to me and my dad, kind of gave it to us, threw it out from the stage. I know that's in a special drawer somewhere, but it was lovely. It was really nice. And my main memory is of going to see Coldplay, and Chris was always, in the early days, so shy and so nervous being on stage that he would walk out on stage, sing the song straight away, and then he would just get off that stage as quickly as he possibly could, because he was just like, I don't know if he was stage struck or what it was, he just seemed to have the fear and didn't want to talk to the audience at all. And so going to see them play at Wembley for this record-breaking number of times, seeing them headline at Glastonbury, you're like, God, people can change. Because obviously in the beginning of Coldplay, he was a shy, quiet, retiring, scared person, and now he's an unbelievable showman.
I have to say, the stage charisma that he has is next level. You know, it's very hard not to fall in love with Chris Martin when he is on a stage. I think I know people of all ages who are just, you look and go, yeah, look at him work that crowd. He's amazing. He has everyone in the palm of his hand. I find it as well, when you see the footage when they're doing stuff from the first album, hearing those songs, they get you right there, some of those.
Yeah.
And they're looking good. They don't seem to age, those boys.
No, they don't. No, and they've got like boundless energy.
Well, I don't know what their secret is. I
mean, he's just all about healthy eating and all the tonics and all the lotions and living in the right way. So that's got to go a long way, hasn't it? You know, there's no kind of rock and roll debauchery going on there at all.
That's where we went wrong. Darn that Jack Daniels.
Knew we'd pay for it. God damn it.
Pay for it.
But I mean, I like watching Coldplay because you can see, you know, he made a joke last night, and I'm sure he does it every night, about not being able to dance and the fact that it gets discussed on Reddit all the time. And he's just been dancing for hours on stage and everyone laughs at him, but it's okay because that's the only way he can dance. And for me, someone who can't dance as well, I'm like, okay, that's fine. It is all right to be, you know, out of time and gangly on stage. But as long as you're enjoying the music and you're enjoying the process of being at a gig, it's fine. You know, let everybody be themselves. And that's what I think he's really brought to people. Yeah. Really brought to people.
He leaps about that stage as well. Even the physicality of watching him play the piano and the stools going, and he's up and he's down. And yeah, you need boundless. You've got to look after yourself, haven't you, if you're going to do that night after night.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, absolutely. On the dancing thing, I have become somewhat obsessed, and I hadn't realized it's a thing. So I was following a couple of people on Instagram who dance, and they often dance to amazing tunes, and they just put videos up, and I'm looking at these fabulous, and they're mainly women, and they're fabulous, and they just make me happy. And sometimes I share their videos, I'm like, look at this girl dancing, la 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 la, love it. I hadn't realized until this weekend that they are shuffle dancing, and it is a thing. Did you know about shuffle dancing?
No, what is it? What is it?
Okay, so shuffle dancing, apparently it comes from Australia years and years ago, but effectively, if you see anyone dancing, sort of like doing the running man is a main move of shuffle dancing, doing a bit of Charleston legs. I can do that.
Yeah.
From Strictly.
I can see you desperate to get out of the sofa. Look, your legs are going now. You're like, I'm going to do it.
I want to do it. But people have adopted it as a form of exercise, shuffle dancing. And so there's a couple of mums in America, and they started shuffle dancing in their garage. I think they taught themselves from videos during COVID, and now they've got like a million followers, and their kids join in sometimes, and they're great. So I'm like, oh, so all these people I've been watching, it is a link. It's called Shuffle Dancing. There's a lovely lady over here called Lara who got in touch with me, who said, if you want me to give you a couple of lessons, I will. There was much hilarity in the household yesterday because I was like, yeah, I'm going to learn shuffle dance because this is such a great form of exercise because it makes you feel euphoric and you drop the pounds. And at the moment, if I try and dance, I am so out of breath. So I was trying to do the running man. It's really hard, the running man. I hadn't realized how you have to sort of bring your knees up and put them down. And it's so everywhere I go, I keep hearing laughter because I'm in the other room trying to do the running man, because she's one of the basic steps. And it's really difficult. But the joy I'm seeing from people, and there's a lot of menopausal women are doing it because it's fun. It involves music. It's dancing. It's learning a skill. And it's sharing with other people. So Lara has offered to teach us.
Sorry, us.
She's offered to teach both of us. But if you want, God. I'll take one for the team and I'll learn and see if I can get any better at it. And then if I do get any better at it, I will demonstrate my skills. At the moment, it's not looking great. And I'm unfit.
No, you definitely can dance though. And you have to film this.
I love watching videos of people doing Northern Soul dancing as well. Yeah. Because it's such a beautiful movement. And it looks so subtle, but I know it's really skilled. Yeah. And I've always wanted to learn to dance Northern Soul because I love Northern Soul music. But again, the idea of going somewhere and learning, it's like, oh God, it'd be scary. So I thought shuffle dancing I can learn from home, can learn on videos. So I'll let you know how that goes. I've got to perfect the running man first and the breath, but I will come back to you on that.
If you're loving Dig It, make sure you hit the follow on Apple or Spotify. It means that you'll never miss an episode and they'll download to your phone as soon as they're out. So have you seen the stories that have been going on over the past few days about the price hike in Mounjaro, which is the weight loss injection that people have been having? I mean, it's just gone through the roof.
GLP. I know. I think it's going up. So is it like 170%? And there's panic amongst everybody because people are worried about being able to afford it, you know. And it's been such a great help to so many people.
It rang alarm bells for me because my sister's been on Mounjaro for about 2 years now. And she's always had a problem with eating, like obsessive eating. She's got learning disabilities and part of her syndrome. I don't even know if it's part of her syndrome because when she was little, when she was young, she was really, really tiny. She was a little wisp of a thing. But as she's got older, it's just the obsession to eat all the time has made her put on so, so much weight. She's probably about 4'8". She's tiny, short, but she's wide. She's been really, really wide. And that's massively impacted her life. Physically, she's had to walk with a walker a lot of the times because she hasn't got the energy. She's got scoliosis as well. So she's just become very kind of crouched forward, held down by her weight. And also when you're in her company over the past couple of years, when you're in her company, her compulsion to eat drives you insane because she just wants to be eating something all the time. So you'll feed her and, you know, can have some toast. Yeah, of course you can have some toast. And before she's finished that toast, what's for tea? What's for tea? But you've just had that. What's for tea? And you have to, it's just been constant. She's been eating all day long, all night long. Started Mounjaro because she became diabetic, understandably became diabetic. And it's Mounjaro has changed her life. It really has. She's lost nearly 2 stone, which is massive. She looks tiny now. Yeah. And the other day we saw her, I was with the kids and something happened and she ran across the room and we were all like, oh my God, Auntie's running. And Auntie hasn't run for a really, really long time because she's had to walk on a walker. But she's now mobile because she hasn't got that huge weight dragging her down, making things just too hard to move. And so it's been absolutely life-changing for her.
Brilliant.
So my point of going on about that was that I was really worried when they said about the price hike going up.
Yes,
I suddenly thought, oh my God, maybe it's not going to be available. And for people like her who really need to have their weight it lowered, I was really worried that it was going to impact her and she wouldn't be able to have a Mounjaro. But I've checked with the nurses, her care staff have checked with the nurses and they've said, if you need it, it's not affecting it. It's still available.
Yeah, because I think they sort of went back on it and they were saying that actually it'll be available for pharmacies for a certain price and da-da. I've had loads of friends have taken Mounjaro and it's, again, had a great effect. I think the great thing with Mounjaro, it curbs food noise.
I've not heard this expression before. What's food noise?
Well, for some people, you know, you're always thinking about eating. I have it. I'm always thinking, oh, what am I going to eat next? Da, 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 da. You know, to the point where it can completely take over your day. And you're like, oh, where's my next snack going to come from? Oh, I better put that in my bag because, you know. And so I think if people have a lot of food noise, you can overeat. You overeat and you're constantly eating. And that might be comfort eating or, you know, and these weight loss jabs are very good at dulling that down and dialing the food noise down so people are not obsessing about eating all the time. Hence, you can lose weight because you're eating less and it's slowing down your system so that you feel fuller for longer, and that helps with weight loss. And, you know, I think it's been really helpful for women in menopause because, you know, not everyone going through the menopause puts on weight, but some people do. And, you know, that can be like a stone and a half. It can be 2 stone. And, you know, you're battling a lot of different things during menopause. And there's anxiety and depression can really affect people. And I think you're fighting a losing battle sometimes in menopause of trying to lose weight and do exercise and deal with everything else and be a mom or work or whatever it is. So I know friends that it's really helped. And people have tried different ones. And it does seem that Mounjaro is the one that most people seem to get on well with. I mean, I think it was designed originally for people with diabetes. I think that's where it's come from. But I think, you know, there's quite a lot of celebrities have spoken out about taking it and had a mixed reaction. Serena Williams, tennis player. I mean, an incredible athlete, really was struggling after having a baby. And she was met with a lot of anger, which seems ridiculous because it's so tough. It's like, it's tough enough surviving all sorts of things in life. Do we really need to shout and moan at people about their choices? You know, and if this is something that helps people lose weight in a healthy way, and then surely we should support that. So I know it's been a really good thing for people. And I think you have to be at a certain weight and within a BMI if you're going to get it from your doctor. Yeah. But yeah, the price hike, I can understand where people are, because I've got friends who are worrying that they won't be able to afford it and whether they'll go on to Wegovy or change to a different one. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I'm so glad for your sister that is helping. It's great.
For her, it's had a really, really positive impact. It's given her mobility back. We're going to take a quick break now for some ads.
Don't forget, if you're enjoying the podcast, you can become a subscriber to The Potting Shed.
You will get longer episodes, bonus content, and access to our members' chat room where we can share tips.
And early access to live shows.
But most importantly, you will be supporting the show. So to subscribe, just go to digitpod.co.uk or tap the link in the show notes.
This episode is brought to you by Airbnb.
So my daughter's just been off again. It was Amsterdam this time. And you know what it's like? The house is always so quiet when the kids disappear when they're away.
Oh, totally. Woody's the same. Always off on adventures with his mates. And I love that for him. But it's strange how quickly the house can go from chaos to total silence.
I know. It's also made me think, actually, there must be quite a lot of spare bedrooms out there.
I bet there is. And people could put them to good use by hosting on Airbnb. A lot of people think you have to host your whole place. Well, some people host their spare room now and again.
Yeah, I mean, it's really flexible and also it can work to your schedule. You can choose to host when it suits you and pick up a bit of extra money along the way to put towards a trip of your own.
I never say no to a trip away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.co.uk/host. This episode of Dig It is sponsored by Ancient and Brave. Joe, I've added another step to my skincare routine. Can you guess what it is?
Are you back doing gua sha?
It's much easier than that. I've started using Ancient and Brave's Wild Collagen and it's become a new obsession. Their marine collagen powder is sustainably sourced from MSC certified wild caught fish and supports the elasticity and strength of skin, hair, nails, joints and bones. And it's so easy. It's tasteless, dissolves in anything. It's just part of my morning now.
Plus, they're proud members of 1% for the Planet, meaning that 1% of all their sales, which they've now increased to 2%, goes directly to environmental causes that protect our planet.
So it's not just a treat for you. It's a treat for the planet, too.
Go to ancientandbrave.earth/planet and use our code DIGIT for 20% off your first one-off purchase.
That's code DIGIT at ancientandbrave.earth/planet. while we're on the subject of, you know, looking after your health, I was offered an Ezra scan, which is a full body scan. And it's non-radiation, and it can pick up early signs of cancer, of tumours, of all sorts within your body. Wow. And after Mum, I thought, well, you know, they've offered me this. Should I go and do this? And I thought, actually, yeah, I'd quite like to know if there's, you know, what's going on inside my body at the moment. Because I think we're learning that the earlier you find out you have problems and issues, the more chance you have of perhaps turning that around or getting treatment early. And I know definitely in cancer, there are certain cancers that if they're spotted early, you know, it can be a whole different story to somebody surviving or having a longer chance at life. And, you know, we've got kids and all those things. You do start thinking, and, you know, as we get older, I've got so many friends affected in so many different ways by diseases. So I went and had it done. And
gosh, was it scary?
Do you know what? It wasn't. I've never had any kind of MRI or anything like that before in my life. So you have to sit very still, which I'm not very good at. But they play, and it's quite loud. I mean, I felt like I was in a Stanley Kubrick film, because you sort of go in and the noises that the machine makes, and you're staying very still. And but they'd done a really lovely thing where the nurses through the glass had put like a mirror, so you were lying down, but you could see them through the window. But that looked quite space age in itself. And I was imagining the things that they were talking about, and they play music to you. Anyway, I was in there for 45 minutes, and that was a whole body scan, and they talk to you during that just to check you're okay. And occasionally you have to take a very deep breath and hold it for about 45 seconds. And it was absolutely fine. It wasn't scary at all. And then I had a CT scan across my lungs afterwards, which was quite quick. And the results came in pretty quickly. And weirdly, they'd come through on a report and I was about to go on telly. And I was saying
to my
friend Heather, who does my makeup, I was like, oh, they've come through. And she went, do you really think you want to read that just before you go on telly? Just in case. So I did wait till afterwards. But anyway, first thing at the top of the page is no signs of cancer. So that's amazing. Huge relief. But you then have a meeting with the doctor and they talk you through your results. It's incredible the things that they can see. So they can see early signs of brain shrinkage. You know, I mean, these are sort of early signs of dementia. They can see how healthy your vessels are going in and out of your heart. And it was all very normal, very good. Average, very of my age. Nothing untoward. There were a couple of things they did pick up on that in my neck and in my lower back, obviously typical for a woman of my age who's gone through menopause, dehydrated discs in between your vertebrae. Yeah. So, you know, that's something you've got to keep an eye on. And, and a couple of cysts on my pelvis, but they weren't cancerous, but they, again, areas to keep an eye on. But I had a really lovely chat with the doctor and she was saying that I'm really hoping more and more people will take these scans. Yeah. And I definitely think, just thinking about my mum, and unfortunately there weren't a lot of signs with pancreatic cancer.
No, your mum died very quickly, didn't she?
Yeah.
After detection.
It was such a short space of time. She just went off her food and had the scan and there it was. And there was very little anyone could do. And it was... So I think, you know, we constantly need to remind ourselves that if there is something niggling you, if there is something that you know is not quite right, get it checked out. And I think with boys, it's getting PSA levels and prostate, especially around our age. It's like, boys, go and get your prostates checked. You know, girls, have your smears, have your boob test. I recently from the NHS got sent the poo test, so you can send your poo off and they can check your bowels. So I think if tests are offered, you know, take them. But it's definitely something that has put my mind at rest. Would you want to know? Would you go and have a scan?
If I was off the charts to get it, then I probably would. My dad's recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's, which was quite a shock. And also, you know, automatically, the kids are like, oh my God, is it hereditary? And I, you know, I think in some cases it can be, but I just, I don't know. I don't know if I want to know. I'm in quite a quandary about it, to be honest with you. And also, would I want to know if I was going to get Parkinson's? I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
confused. These are big questions, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really big questions.
How is he doing? Is he doing?
We're feeling our way through it. And I think he's a lot better. Like mentally, there's a lot more clarity now. And he has some days when he's more shuffly than others. But on the whole, he's okay. He's okay. I mean, he's not been well for a long time, really. And so it was actually quite good to get a diagnosis to know what it was, because we were just making, you know, all kinds of assumptions of what it might possibly be. So it's good that he's getting the right treatment and that he will, you know, he gets Parkinson's nurses are available a little bit further down the line.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe I would get the test, but I would be definitely very, very scared about it and getting those results.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy. I'm so pleased because of your history with your mum. It was very, very important. It made a lot of sense. And we want to be here for our kids for as long as possible.
We do.
That's all
I
it's about.
That's the thing. We just want to be here for our kids.
You're a week ahead of me, I think, so with the looking forward to autumn and going back to school, because I was still kind of in a holiday mode. But
yeah.
I'm quite enjoying the beginning of September. Over the past few days, I've done quite a lot of shopping or looking. I haven't actually bought anything. I've been doing research shopping, like what is going to be in fashion over the next couple of months. And I've tried on so many pairs of loafers and looked at so many loafers online. I cannot tell you.
I am so into loafers.
Oh,
I have
God,
some
yes.
loafers that I kept, but they're a bit shiny. I have invested in a couple of pairs of Marks and Spencer's loafers because they are very comfortable. And I'm laughing at myself thinking, am I ever going to wear these? I am upping my jean game. We're looking at Carolyn Kennedy, her fashion sense back in the day.
Skinny jeans.
Straight jeans, I think, with a loafer.
Okay.
Yeah. I've just found the perfect denim jacket in Arquette, which I love. It's dark denim and it's got a brown corduroy collar. So I'm loving that. And I've just bought...
Arquette's great. I love Arquette.
Arquette's really good.
Yeah, really
they
good.
They are really good. We love Arquette. There's one of them on Regent Street, or I think you can buy them
in
online.
London.
It's A-R-K-E-T. Great, great clothing brand for men and women, and they do really nice homewares. Sometimes I just go in and take pictures of the homewares, and then I come home and go, I don't need any of that, stay away. But I am doing a thing with my lovely friend Adele. Adele is so good at taking on a task. I was like, Adele, because I'm so bad at organising, will you come with me? We're going to be Kim and Aggie. I don't know which one I'm being. We're going from the top of the house, we're going through every single room, and I'm going to get things out.
Yep.
Things are going to go to, and then they're going to be labeled dump, charity,
yeah,
pre-loved, vinted, you know. And so I'll let people know if any of my stuff is of any use to anyone who's going to my friend Vanessa's pre-loved shop. And so yeah, I'm having a massive spring clean. And then what I'm going to try and do, Joe, is I'm going to try and create myself a capsule wardrobe. So that in my cupboards,
I love this new organized Zoe. You're doing your tablets, your supplements. You've got a chart going on.
There
you go. The capsule. You're reinventing yourself.
I want a capsule wardrobe. I am trying this because I have so many clothes. I don't wear any of them, and I can never find the thing I want to wear. So what I want to do is create outfits, take photos. And I'll let you know in a couple of weeks how that's going. It will probably be a total disaster. Yeah. And if you buy any key bits, let me know. Yeah. What are your colours going to be this autumn, clothes-wise?
Well, I keep seeing about brown, but brown was kind of in last year as well. So I've still got quite a lot of brown left over. Got this purple. This is from American Vintage. This purple top. I'm quite enjoying purple at the moment. So I might invest in some more purple things.
You're in your purple phase. Like it.
I'm in my purple phase, yeah. Like get my hair done, purple rinse, you know. Not quite in that phase yet.
I don't know.
I'm just perusing at the moment. Just perusing. But I know what you mean about the jeans as well. But definitely there's some loafers. And maybe I might get some ballet pumps because I cannot find any trainers I like. I can't find any new exciting trainers. So I'm thinking, well, I just go for proper shoes. But trying on proper shoes after years and years and years of just wearing trainers, they just feel so uncomfortable.
Like
everything I put on, I'm like, oh no, I don't. Oh, they're like proper school shoes. I don't know if I like this.
That's why I quite like some of the softer suedey.
The loafers.
It's my favourite season for fashion. Autumn.
Yeah.
I love the autumn. It's big,
so
you know.
Many nice jumpers.
And I always think if you need inspiration, you think Meg Ryan in When Harry Met Sally. There you go. Her autumn wardrobe in that film is perfect. I did buy a hat just like her. She wears that lovely short jacket when they go to the gallery. Oh,
cardigans are really big at the moment as well. Is it jumper 1, 2, 3, 4? I really
love. Oh, yes.
Their knits are so fine and so soft and really good quality. There's a really nice brown cardigan that they're doing. But wear it with the top button done up and maybe the next one and then have it open. Because my inclination is always just button up from the beginning. But Coco doesn't do that. So I'm not doing it anymore.
Button
so you button
two,
at the top and then leave the rest open. Wear like a vest underneath or something quite tight.
This is good. Learning from the teens. I like it.
Yes.
The youngsters.
Yeah. what else comes with like autumnal fashion is like shows and new things like planning. We've talked about this before. Oh. When it gets dark outside and you're a bit like, oh, summer's over, just plan adventures, plan some good things to do. So we've been doing that. And Disco Steve has just organised a quiz night with our friends. So instead of having like a full-on party where it all gets really noisy and upsets Roy the farmer, we're going to have a quiz night. He loves a ChatGPT quiz. I've mentioned this before. So Steve just puts in every single person and just says to ChatGPT, I want a quiz that is either very difficult or moderate or very easy for someone whose specialist subject is Britpop years 1993 to 95, or Coldplay, or, you know, Jude will always do literature. We did this on holiday and I chose Britpop. And I got everything right. And everyone was just like, you cannot have Britpop as your specialist subject again.
It's not fair. That is not a level playing field.
But all our friends, like, we put it out there and said, do you fancy having a quiz night? It was a unanimous, yes, please, sign us up. So it's lovely just to have a gathering to look forward to as well, to know that you're going to see your friends and have a lovely, lovely evening with them.
That's a great idea. How's your garden doing, Jo?
It's looking a bit better. I mean, we've had some rain. You were saying how desperate you were for rain. Like, I mean, we're all desperate for rain. So we've had some of that. And it has an instant effect, doesn't it? It's unbelievable.
It's incredible.
Everything's looking a little bit greener, which is really lovely. And I've managed to pick more plums and more pears from the trees. So there's quite a lot of fruit coming through. Mm-hmm. My friend has taken them away to make some plum flapjacks. So lovely, Amy. Thank you very much indeed to her, because that's not something that I would do.
Delicious.
It's all looking all right. The anemones are looking really gorgeous, really, really beautiful. Lots of pink clouds all over the place. And the roses are really great. So I've been going out and deadheading some of those. Others I'm letting form hips, which are really beautiful as well in the autumn and the winter. So I'm feeling a little bit more in control. I had about 3 hours yesterday just to go out and do some gardening. And oh my God, it was amazing therapy. It was so good. You know when you get time in the house on your own? I don't know whether you feel like this, but I never seem to get time on my own in the house. And everybody was out and I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do first. So I went and changed the beds. I got the Hoover out. So I was doing all these cleaning jobs that we discuss. And then I went out to the garden and did some deadheading and some chopping back of all the crispy stuff that was making everything look ugly. So I took some of that away.
I heard Chris Packham on Radio 4 and he was talking about, you know, we've talked about how the trees have been in distress because of the lack of water. And he was just talking about, you know, the problem that leads to eventually is because a lot of the berries are coming out that would normally come later to feed the birds that are migrating and will fly in. And he was talking about the adverse effect of the weather on our nature and how that's changing. But you're right, the anemones are looking so pretty. And I put some rudbeckia in and the lovely yellows in the bushes. And then my friends just bought me the most beautiful Acer tree. Thank you, Sammy. So I'm just trying to find a spot for the Acer, but yeah, it's looking a little bit perkier. There are some things that have really struggled. Pots have struggled.
Yeah, oh my gosh, pots are so hard, aren't they? Yeah.
And do we have a message?
Yeah, we've got a question. I'm gonna have to put my glasses on for this because I can pretend I don't need them, but I do. So this is a question from Angela, who said, hi, rookie gardener here. My garden is all astroturf, so every single plant I own lives in a pot. Trouble is, I've got absolutely no idea how much water to give them. The pots never seem to fill up, but I'm terrified of drowning the poor things and rotting their roots. So is there a rule, any hard and fast guidance for how much water is too much water? Or am I destined to be the overbearing plant mum who kills with kindness? Aww.
Aww.
I think if you've got drainage, then you should be okay. The drainage is the crucial thing. And so you shouldn't rot their roots. But we have an expert in the form of Adam Kirtland, aka View from the Potting Bench, on Instagram. So let's get these tips from Adam.
Hello there, I'm Adam, otherwise known as View from the Potting Bench. And I'm honoured that Joe and Zoe, either way, I'm honoured that you've asked me to answer Angela's burning question on watering her pots. Angela, don't worry. Watering is the number one thing that new gardeners worry about, but thankfully, I've got a really simple rule that you can follow. While the heat has been lovely in our gardens this year, even those of us that pretend to know what we're doing have struggled at times. Oi, were you looking at my pants on the washing line? I hope not. We're here for gardening, not smut. If you'd rather your pots be blooming and colourful and not like this, then you want to think about how much you're watering rather than how often you're watering, and I'll show you exactly what I mean. Almost all pots have got a nice big drainage hole at the bottom there, which makes it almost impossible to overwater.
Then what you need to do is get yourself a watering can and fill it to the top. Then water your plants at the base of the plant, never over the top. When you see water coming out the bottom, you know that you've done a proper job. By doing it like this, you know that the root ball at the middle of that plant pot has had a good deep soaking, and that plant is gonna be happy. If you don't water properly, what normally happens is you have a wet bottom and a dry top. If you cut the plant through the middle, you'll see right in the center, it's still completely bone dry. So remember, give your pots a good deep soaking, never a splash or a sprinkle, and you'll have happy pots all year round. Joe and Zoe, Zoe and Joey, Joey and Zoe.
Joe.
Oh, I love Adam.
Adam, I love your voice.
Oh, he's got the best voice and he's always really naughty on his stories. He really makes me smile and you learn so much from him. Isn't that great? And he, bless him for actually cutting a plant in half to demonstrate there. Adam, you've gone the full mile.
And you can watch this, of course. You can see it on Spotify or YouTube if you want to see Adam in all his glory and see what his pots look like and his pants, what they look like as well.
I have been trying really hard, Joe, during our chats, work out that record. But my eyesight is so bad, I can't read the title. What have you got for us, your crate digging this week?
There was nothing brand new that I've been listening to since Wolf Alice, because it's only been a week and it's been a busy old week. And this is just an album that I've recently really, really loved and we keep going back to. And it's Father John Misty and it's Mahesh Mashana is the title of the album. And it's really beautiful. So it's a white album. Behind me, it's a double album and I love a double album. Some kind of weird scrawlings on the front, which is probably very significant. It's just a really great album. Then a lovely picture of the man himself, Father John Misty, who I think we both love, don't we?
Yeah, we both love. I remember listening to him come on your show.
Yeah,
he has an incredible presence. In fact, I'm gutted because I missed him at the Royal Albert Hall because I couldn't go and my mate went on his own and I was really grumpy about it, but I love that album. If anyone gets the chance to see him, he's amazing live.
Really, really amazing live. I think he's changed a lot because he's been through a lot in his life in terms of being in a dark place and being a bit stressed about everything, and now he's got kids and he's got a family and he's got a whole new perspective on life and he seems really happy, and that's reflected, I think, in this album. It's quite a reflective album, but there's a song called I Guess Time Just Makes Fools of Us All. It goes on for about 8 minutes and it's amazing. It's such a good song. The whole album is beautiful to have on in the background.
I only know about him from listening to your show, Joe. You introduced me to him.
Thank you.
Okay, I am going to go up here. This is the more modern area, and I have no idea what. I dread to think sometimes what I'm going to pull out.
I love this. I love the reveals.
Okay, what have we got? Oh, freaking hell! It's Oasis.
That's okay.
A whole
topical
vat of Oasis. It's pictures. To be honest with you, I was gifted these at work. Look at the boys. Look at them when they're young.
Oh, this is a picture disc of Liam and Noel looking very young.
Here we go. 25th anniversary edition coloured vinyl of Oasis. Definitely, maybe. I haven't actually opened it. Sorry, boys. I will be playing that, obviously.
It's been very funny. As I've been talking to you, we started off talking about Simba and I said how Kiki's behaviour has changed. Yeah. And about a minute after I said that, Kiki strolled into the room where we are, where we're recording this. And she's sat in about six different positions all around us, just watching me record the podcast. And I tried to put her on my lap at some point to show everybody, but then she just jumped off straight away. But, you know, she's never used to do that. And all of a sudden, she's kind of checking us all out.
I think you're right. I think there's two sides to that. I think one, she's looking after you all, because I think animals are really instinctive like that.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, the hierarchy in the house has changed somewhat.
It's changed.
So.
Undoubtedly, yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Wilbur, though.
Yeah, he's fickle, Wilbur is. He's very fickle. And he's, yeah, because if he wants to come in, he'll meow. I think he's seen what we're doing. He's like, oh, yeah, I know what you're doing. Yeah. I've heard all these stories before.
Well, maybe he'll grace us with his presence next week.
Yes, maybe he will. If you want to chat to us about any of the things we've covered in this week's pod, do get in touch with us. You can find out how by checking out the show notes.
Back again on Monday to dig in and hear what you've got to say. And if you do have any questions, tips, or just general thoughts, please contact us. We'd love to hear from you.
And if you're loving the podcast, please give us 5 stars on Apple or Spotify with a little review. It really helps others to find the show.
See you in Chelmsford.
Dig It is a Persephonica production.